Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching iTunes for Radio Le Mans or visiting radiolemans.com.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of the world.
The Toro Radio Show, your home for sim racing news.
Today is Thursday, November 23rd, 2017. It is 8 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And for those on the other side of the pond, it is Thanksgiving. So happy Thanksgiving to all of our American listeners around the world. I am, of course, Toro's intrepid VP, Ben Williams, who is very, very hungover in Turkey right now, so hopefully this show will go well. And joining me in the booth, as ever, is my fellow American, Louis Satterley. How you doing, Louis?
I'm doing great, but let me ask you something, Ben. Did you notice something
yes.
about this show?
Yes,
Who's
I did.
Not here?
Ah, yes, our president, Matt Hunter, is not here.
Okay, and correct me if I'm wrong. He is English, correct?
The accent would lead me to believe that is the case, yes.
Okay, so the Englishmen, as the two Americans who have family over at their houses currently,
yes,
celebrating a national holiday, happens yes. to be my favorite holiday.
Mine too.
I do have to say. Okay, so our favorite holiday. So we have to drop everything that we're doing with our families to come over here and do this show.
Mm-hmm.
And not have the support cast of the Englishman who is the president of Toro.
Yes.
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 Well, we got our priorities lined up, Matt. Where's yours?
Yeah. we are only rising you, Matt. We love you. As a weird fatherly figure. In sort
or
of way.
Do we?
Yeah, anyway. So this
it's
is
Turkey, I swear.
This is, of course, the Toro Radio Show. We do occasionally talk about sim racing news. So let's go ahead and get started with that before the producers in the booth start yelling at us. It's a Toro Radio Show, not a talking show. Anyway, moving on. So, bit of a sigh of relief for all of us here at Toro as we have finally gotten through the season of releases and all the big sim racing titles that we were expecting to come out this year have come out. So,
yay!
Yeah. So, 1 month in, how are they doing? Since Forza is usually the topic of the show, let's start with Forza 7. How is Forza 7 doing? Well,
it's still the same for me, unfortunately. As much as I hate to say it,
mm-hmm. yes,
it just does not captivate my interest. I mean, we're going to get on to the updates that came out with it, but
yeah.
Even still, as soon as I saw that, you know, I mean, it wasn't until actually on Saturday night that I didn't touch that DLC for the first time. I actually haven't even played Forza since the last time we did a test track. Actually, to be honest. So, I mean, it's just where it's at for interest for me right now, unfortunately. And I hate mm-hmm. to say it, but
yeah.
it's where it is.
I, on the other hand, have actually been playing a fair deal of Forza. So much, in fact, I actually haven't really played anything else since the last Toro Radio show.
As well, I was going to say, we've had quite a few league races going on as well, so I'd imagine you would be quite busy with that
yes.
as well.
And we'll talk more all about that in our Toro news update later on
Maybe
the show. But I
maybe
have
that's my problem is that I'm just basically I'm done organizing series for the year, so I'm just kind of like in a lull and just playing mm-hmm. what I want to play for once.
Yeah,
maybe that's my whole thing.
Yeah, and it really pains me because I had this really I finally got a steering wheel, dear listeners. I finally got a really nice wheel as a gift from Christian Gomez, who wasn't using it anymore. And
oh,
I have
really
yes. Yes,
he actually. Oh, he gave you that?
Yeah, he did.
Oh,
anyway.
That's nice of him.
Yes, it was very nice of him. Thank you, Christian. Sorry you couldn't be here today for the show. Anyway, I have this really nice wheel, and I haven't really been able to use it because I'm so comfortable with a controller on Forza that's what I'm using. That's what I'm fast with. I'm like 4 seconds off my usual pace when I use a steering wheel as compared to the controller. But
yeah, it does take time.
Yeah, digressing. So, I really want to start using the wheel for Project Cars 2 because I feel that Project Cars 2 is probably more wheel inclined than Forza 7. But then again, we've talked about this stuff on the show before, so let's continue getting to the point. So with Forza 7, there was a massive update that did take place 2 weeks ago. Was it 2 weeks? No, several weeks ago, actually. It was on November 3rd, I believe. Yes.
Well, again, I told you I wouldn't be able to tell you because I haven't touched the game in a month.
Yes, massive 4.8, I believe, gigabyte update to Forza, fixing some lobby stabilization issues, fixing some UI glitches, fixing some paint glitches on the cars, just a bunch of stuff. They also updated a lot of the PC side of things so that it runs better on PC. Users who actually are playing the game on PC have reported some advances, but the point we're basically making is that Forza 7 is still not quite perfect. It's a lot more usable than what it was when we first started using it a month ago, but there's still some things here and there that still need improvements. One of the biggest things that we've noticed from a sim racing organization is that for some reason, custom liveries do not actually load online.
Really?
Yes. I've had some success with a workaround where you jump out of the car that you're currently in, change cars, and then you go back into the car you want to race with, and then they'll pop up, but I haven't had a lot of success with that. Yeah, I did get it to work at least two or three times when I've raced since the last show, but I haven't really gotten it to work recently. So now I'm very confident that the Turn 10 will be working on all of these issues well into next year, and we will probably see the game probably where it probably should have been at launch instead of making us all be beta testers. Sorry.
In fairness, what game doesn't make you become a beta tester for the first few months anyway?
Yeah.
That is the trend, and it has been for a few years now.
Yeah, we are in the age of the ability to update games, so getting the games out and then fixing things over time is very common. So that's more of a comment on the state of gaming, but not getting to that. That's an entirely different show. We could probably spend an hour just talking about that.
Well, it's the tetrafin that's inside our turkeys that I think is causing us to be like, yeah,
cursed tetrafin. Anyway, staying awake. So I expect the game to be very fully functional by probably mid-year next year. I mean,
at 100% capacity. I think a workaround, though, I think that'll be as soon as January.
Yeah, probably.
At the latest.
Yeah. We know that Turn 10 developers can produce great games. We see it in the past. Forza 4, wide across the board. Everyone's very positive about that. Forza 6, across the board. Of course, there were some teething problems with Forza 6, but as soon as they got it fixed, great game across the board. So I'm very, very confident that Forza will be fine in a couple
months.
We'll get there, yeah. So what are your thoughts on Forza 7, dear listeners? I know there have been some very vocal people on Twitter constantly tweeting Turn 10 about getting fixes to the game done. So
my game's broken! You need to fix it now!
Thank you for the dramatic reading, Lewis. Anyway.
Well, I mean, that's pretty much what everybody says. It doesn't get anybody anywhere, though, unfortunately. Yeah.
Anyway, tell us what you're thinking. You can find us on Twitter at @TheReal_Tora, not the band Tora, not the movie Tora, @TheReal_Tora, and use the hashtag TRS. Moving right along to the next game that we've been using, Project Cars 2. Now, I believe you probably, like I said, I haven't really been playing this game, Gooey, so have you been playing the game since some updates? I know there was an update a couple weeks ago.
Actually, there was news of an update coming out soon. Unfortunately, since the last horror show, there has not actually been a physical update yet.
Okay.
It's been a couple days since I've actually touched it, so the update might be out there now. I'm not sure. Because, again, I haven't fired up the Xbox in a couple of days. Family's been in town, so I've been visiting with them.
Same here?
Yeah, so I believe, if not this week, I believe next week, if it hasn't already come out. But unfortunately, it is kind of frustrating, though, to play it, because, again, anybody who listened to the show last time around, if you're trying to race Indy cars on an oval around Daytona, it's going to snap right around you coming out of a corner. No warning whatsoever. It's just literally you go on, you're hooked up. All of a sudden, literally just snap over steer to the 1,000,000th degree that's overdone. And actually, I had a really spectacular one not too long ago to where actually it just snapped oversteered so bad that the rear end dug in and threw me about 800 feet up in the air, and I didn't land for about 20 seconds.
Nice.
Dead serious. I mean, it was pretty severe. So
did
like,
you get a recording?
I did not get a recording. Actually, it was more one of those things. It was like, what just happened? Sort of thing. And whatever finally gets done, finish and everything, you're in too much shock. It's like, well, that's a new one. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to go ahead and just quit out of this right now and just leave. So that's what the whole situation was for me. So
yeah.
So yeah. Still a few issues. I mean, anybody who has an issue, go onto their forums. If you do it with Xbox, I mean, actually any of them, go onto their forums. If you don't have an account on their forums, go ahead and create one. And just write down the experience that you're having with any issues whatsoever, because they do take note of it. Ian Bell is in there very often checking the forums. I know he does that. So, I mean, good on those guys. And just for a good solid 3 weeks, they were doing nothing but taking in information on what people were saying were issues and what have you. So they do listen to it. The only downside is people who are asking for a release date for a patch, there isn't exactly one. They're basically saying, oh, it'll come out when it comes out. So they are working hard over there, but so much to the point where they can't exactly give you a release date. It's just going to come out when it does.
Yeah, so I think you would say positive that you're confident that Project Cars 2 will get to a point where we saw with like Project Cars 1, where it got to a point where it's a very good game. And kind of what we were saying about Forza earlier.
The problem is with Project Cars, I think, because it is across a whole lot of platforms, and what they're seeing on one platform may not be happening on another, and so they'll come out with this update on the game, which, as we saw with Project Cars 1, they come out with the update to fix a bunch of other things. Well, unfortunately, that patch then all of a sudden opens up loopholes and tiny holes inside the code writing to where it creates other smaller minor issues. And then it just becomes a matter of finding or giving them time to weed out these issues, find them where the code's broken at, fix it, and go back in, release another update. So, which, unfortunately, is exactly what happened whenever they released the first patch, which happened a while ago, because before, the cars weren't doing the snap oversteer out of the high banks of Daytona in an Indy car, or any car for that matter. But I digress.
Yeah. Anyway, so, two games that need updates, two games we're confident will be updated over time. Of course, would have liked to have Christian here to talk about Gran Turismo Sport. Unfortunately, he is with his family right now, as it is Thanksgiving, and could not be able to make the show.
Yeah, so, he couldn't get away from his family, unlike us.
Yes.
Unlike Mr. Hunter, apparently, who's decided to take up American Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Anyway, moving right along the show, it's time to talk about the DLC news.
Before that, can we get a pie break?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay, pie break over. Anyway, so
I love pumpkin pie.
Pumpkin pie is great. Anyway.
Yes.
Yes, my sister is actually tormenting me with pumpkin pie right now. But not too dissimilar to that. Anyway, moving on.
Oh my god, I don't know why, but it reminded me of, I don't know if you ever seen the movie Strange Brew. Sorry, sidebar here.
Sidebar. Right up towards
the movie Strange Brew with Bob and Doug McKenzie and everything. They're sitting there like, you want a donut? It's a jelly. So I just sit there picturing your sister right there with pie and everything. Like, it's pecan. That's just the way I mentioned it. I'm sorry.
Okay,
anyway,
okay. DLC news. First, we need to talk about the first Forza 7 DLC, the Samsung QLED TV pack. Now, of course, this is to coincide with the Xbox One X launching, which I am actually quite enjoying having an Xbox One X, even though I don't have the full 4K TV prettiness. There is actually a discernible difference between the two on my three-year-old monitor that I currently use for gaming.
So, I mean, you're actually the first person that we've had on here that has a 4K Xbox. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, before we get into the car pack, quick rundown of what exactly is it that you're noticing a difference on? Because I was thinking about getting one, but didn't, because I couldn't justify spending that much money on a 4K Xbox, and also, to get the most out of it, a 4K screen, which was another $500. So I couldn't justify spending $1,000 just to have slightly better gaming experience, if it's what I think it is. But you're going to blow my mind here.
Even on a 1080p screen, you can tell, though, that the graphics are just that little bit sharper. Things are just that little bit clearer. The finals on the cars themselves in Forza 7 that I noticed aren't as nearly as glitched out as they have been in previous games and before I got the Xbox One X. I've also noticed that there's a discernible difference between the One S that I had and the One X that I am currently using in frame rate, as I can actually see Forza in its full 60 FPS, and I haven't been I actually hadn't in, with the One S before. I don't know if that's hardware thing. I don't know if that was just because I switched HDMI cords around whenever I put the new Xbox in. So, yeah, that's... I mean, if you want to... If you're looking for a new Xbox and you don't mind paying $500, just go ahead and get the One X. It's going to be... it's not going to be replaced anytime soon just because 4K is this new thing. So, it's going to advance over time.
And, oh, of course.
Yeah. And that's probably why I'm kind of waiting on getting a 4K screen, because I've had this current Samsung TV monitor hybrid thing for a couple of years now, like I said, and it works just as fine as it always has. I'm learning some new settings that I have to use to make it work with the Scorpio, taking off a game mode, turning it on PC mode, that kind of thing. But anyway, getting back...
All right, DLC!
DLC! Change gears.
Well, I just wanted a quick input on that, because that's actually the first that we've had since Scorpio has actually been released and everything. So, I mean, good insight on that, though.
Yeah. Anyway, so the Forza 7 Samsung QLED card pack. Interesting card pack. There's a lot of variety, actually, in this. And there are some cars that I know that Forza users, especially the ones on our site, were looking forward to getting their hands on greatly. So, first up in the pack, we have the 2017 Alfa Giulia Quattrofogaglio, or however you pronounce it.
Try to say that three times fast.
Yeah. We are not Italian. We cannot pronounce it. Anyway,
no, we're not. No, Italian heritage either. So, yeah.
If any of our listeners watched the Grand Tour last season, which I am very greatly expecting season 2 coming up in a couple weeks, you would have seen this car on the one episode where Clarkson was driving it around, talking about its 500 horsepower Ferrari derived 2.9 liter twin turbo V6, which totally isn't the V8 from the California, just with two cylinders lopped off. Totally isn't that.
That was just hilarious. Ferrari devised. Yes. All part of their master plan.
Yes. Anyway.
Sorry, I got to say.
Yeah. It's an Italian sports sedan, so you expect it to be lively, and it is very lively on Forza 7.
I was going to say, it looks absolutely gorgeous.
It does. I actually quite like the look of that. But, and
a lot of the new Alphas I've noticed, actually, over the years, have actually really captured my eye, as opposed to the Alphas of the 90s. I mean, they just looked incredibly boxy and not
Alphas
very attractive.
Alphas of the 90s is kind of like Forza 5. We don't talk about it. That's car guys. Anyway, it's quite nice to drive in game. I actually jumped in with a lobby with a couple of people who race a Toro, and we drove all the DLC cars around various tracks. And for this one, we actually chose Mugello, and this thing just flies in that Mugello straight. It is awesome car to drive, and it produced actually some really epic racing. Moving right along, we have the 1984 Nissan No. 20 Coca-Cola Bluebird Super Silhouette. Now, this is Nissan's iconic angular aero kit wide body car that just raw power, 562 horsepower, Yeah,
if you had to put this international group, I would say this is probably very close to a group five. Yeah. But it's also on the brink of what would be the late 90s or late 80s, early 90s GTO category as well.
Yeah, that's actually where they pretty much put it in the games homologation system. It's right there with like the Capri, the Mercury Cougar from IMSA for some reason, the Fair Ladies, the...
Well, the Cougar is definitely a GTO car. Yeah. You know, it's a Trans Am GTO car.
Yeah. But it fits actually really well into that category, as does the next car that we have. And, Lewis, I'll let you introduce this one.
Oh, yes. Those of you who know me know that I've been asking and asking and asking for a Porsche 935 to show up in a game. One of many cars. Well, finally we got one. Not only did we actually get one in Project Cars 2, we got two of them over there. There were the 935-77s over there. And now this time, we get a Porsche 935-78. It's not just any 78, it's the Moby Dick. And it's not just any Moby Dick. It's not Martini, no. It's my all-time favorite childhood livery of a race car. The Momo design with a 78 on it, which actually I don't know too much of the number 78's history or where it was ran at. So that sounds like it's going to be a post-food coma, tetrafen pie-eating research project after the show. So
yes, I do believe, though, that this is the car that we have later in the tour test track. Is it not?
Ooh. Yes.
Spoiler alert.
Way to spoil that one, Ben.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Spoiler alert.
Face palm.
Man. All right. Next up the pack, we have the 2017 Abarth 124 Spider. Now, this is, again, talking about the Grand Tour, how this car was featured on it. This is a Mazda Miata in an Italian sports jacket, basically.
I got to tell you, the very first time I actually physically saw one of these cars in person.
Mm-hmm.
I literally did not know what it was, and it scared the crap out of me when I first saw it.
Why did it scare the crap out of you?
If you ever look in your rearview mirror and see what those headlights look like when you're facing it.
Okay, I guess that makes
sense.
And
you've never seen one before, it's like, what the heck is that? Mm-hmm. Is that a UFO or something? I don't know. Then it goes by, and then you see the Abarth logo. I was like, okay, that's a weird-looking Mazda if I've ever seen one.
Yeah.
So it does capture your eye there, but not in a good way.
Yeah. Well, we...
Looks like a fun little car, though.
It is a fun little car, actually. It's not as tail-happy as you would expect it to be. This one will be actually raced on the new Dubai circuit. And, again, it's really easy, actually, to check that car around the corners, as it is the Nissan Bluebird silhouette that we talked about, and the Porsche. Porsche is just kind of scary on Forza 7, but in the best way possible.
Any way that a Porsche should be.
Yes.
By the way, dear listener, if you're ever listening and you want to know how you can crush Ben Williams' hopes and dreams, let him lead the whole race and pass him coming out of the final corner on the last lap going to the finish line.
Thank you for that, Lewis.
Works every time. Just want to let you know.
Anyway, moving right along. Now we have
enough time to hear him cry.
Yeah. Now we move on. It is impossible for us to focus this evening, isn't it?
We're having fun.
It's a national holiday.
This is what happens whenever you let two Americans on a national holiday. Mm-hmm. When you suck them away from that, make them go to work.
There's a piece of pumpkin pie literally in reach for me to go eat as soon as we're done.
It's calling your name.
It is. That better still be there. Yes, I'm talking to you. Talking to someone off microphone. Anyway, so now we move into the more interesting cars in the pack. First up, we have the 57 Maserati 250F. It's one of the very first Formula One cars, or one of the first.
Well, I mean, it's interesting actually, because when it comes to Grand Prix racing and everything, I mean, this period in total, or as a whole, actually, really captivated me, the post-World War I and post-World War II era of cars, simply because, I mean, they don't look like they go very fast, but they do.
Yeah. You know? When they do go fast, it's really sketchy because the tires are not much wider than your typical bike tire.
Well, I mean, they're a little bit wider than that, but at the same time, they go incredibly fast. The problem is most of them have drum brakes.
Yeah, what happens when
you have drum brakes? They heat up, and then they don't work so great.
Yeah.
So you basically got to get a car to come down from 163 miles an hour, and because the tires are so narrow, and they're not slicks, and the suspension isn't coilover shock suspension or anything like that, you know? So you got to get this car to go from 163, and you got to go from 500 feet for a braking zone to get it down to 40 in order to make this corner. So, but for me personally, it's absolutely one of the best eras of race car. And actually, the very first test track we did, if anybody remembers, that we did was the Maserati 8CTF. And actually, to be honest with you, this is making me think I need to go back and do some classic open wheel cars again, because I mean, those cars are just absolutely fun to drive.
Yeah, and they scream. I mean,
the sound they make.
Yeah, the Maserati 250F actually has a 2.5 V12 in it.
Oh yeah, that'll sound sexy.
Yeah, oh yeah, it does. Oh, yeah. Trust me. Okay, next up in the pack we have the 2016 Toyota Land Cruiser Arctic Trucks AT37.
And this, ladies and gentlemen, is the portion of the car pack that we wonder why.
Yeah, this one is of course famous for being ready to go to the South Pole just like that, just because it can, because of the expensive modifications that Arctic Trucks has done to this, what was a Toyota Land Cruiser at one point. Now it's more like a sheep, or a wolf in sheep's clothing, excuse me.
Put bigger tires on it, it's going to be a monster truck. Good gravy.
Yeah. There's a fairly large number of off-roading vehicles in Forza 7, so it makes me wonder about what they might have planned for future expansions.
I hope there is some sort of off-road thing going on, because I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous with how many off-road vehicles we have, and not one of the tracks that we have offered is an off-road track. And there's not even a free roam area to where you take these things off track.
Yeah,
I mean, the closest thing you can get to off track is going ahead and taking it to Laguna Seca and trying to see how far you can get your truck to sail off the top of the corkscrew and land on the bottom.
Yeah, the next track in the pack is actually a pretty good one for that. It is the 2015 Hodger Windline Baja Trophy Truck.
Again, do we have another off-road vehicle?
Yeah. Well, trophy trucks do race on tarmac services, but they have jumps thrown in along the track just to add to the excitement. So that would be actually a really cool feature to have in a racing game, being able to actually use proper trophy truck-style jumps.
That would be. That would actually be pretty cool.
Yeah.
And actually, when I was up in Toronto for a friend of mine's USF 2000 race last year, I went out there onto the front straightaway just outside of the convention center, and they had the ramps out there for the trophy truck series. I'm standing along the fence, and I swear to God, I've never been so scared, because I thought those trucks were going to jump over the fence and land inside the crowd. How they get away with it, I don't know. But I mean, and it's actually pretty spectacular to see how far they actually jump.
Yeah.
When you see it on TV, it's just like, okay, that's cool. No, this thing comes at you at 80 miles an hour, just sailing through the air.
Yeah. Yeah, and imagine, dear listener, driving these things around Long Beach, because that's what I did.
Or Toronto.
Or Toronto, yeah.
Where I saw them.
Yeah, so very interesting car pack, a lot of variety, a lot of really good cars, and a lot of, interesting cars. So,
and a lot of, what were they thinking?
Yes. But be sure to stay tuned to future TRSs as we hang out and talk about the various DLCs that come to Forza 7. Now, more DLC news, changing gears. Since our last show, Assetto Corsa has released their Ferrari 7th Anniversary Celebration Pack to some troubles on the console side, but I believe they're all sorted out now. It took them a little while to get it sorted with Microsoft support, but I think we're good now. It's a very interesting car list. We have the 62-250 GTO, the 67-330P4, the 67-312-67, the 84-250 F288 GTO, the 2004 F2004, the 2017 812 Superfast. Yes, it is what it's called. And, of course, the Ferrari SF7H. So, very wide variety in that pack. Couple of four-wheel cars, couple of classic race cars. Anything really?
The 250 GTO, though. I swear, that is absolutely, without a doubt, my absolute favorite Ferrari, I think. Just the lines on it, and then you hear the sound of the car. I've actually got to see one in person, too, and I wish he would have fired up the motor, actually, because I wanted to hear what this thing sounded like in person. But if it's anything like what any game has put in there, I mean, it's an absolute stunning car. So, I mean, anybody who knows me knows I'm German cars, Porsche, Audi, that's me. But for Italian cars, that's the one.
And I'm just looking at some of the cars in this pack. The A12 Superfast actually looks quite interesting. It's kind of like California-styled. What was the name of that four-wheel drive car they had a couple years ago? Can't remember what it was. But anyway, it's that kind of thing.
Oh, the FXX? Not the FXX, but I know which one you're talking about. The one that was based off of the LaFerrari?
It's more of a coupe style than the LaFerrari, if that makes sense. The LaFerrari is more like supercar-esque. This is more coupe style. And yes, it is coupe. Deal with it. it's more close to the 599, I guess, you would say. But anyway, yeah, this is what happens when you have a German car guy and an American muscle car guy try to talk about Ferraris. For those who are playing Assetto Corsa on all the various platforms, be sure to pick up that pack. It is actually not part of the season pass, so you will have to buy that pack yourself. Interesting pack. And if you're playing Assetto Corsa as probably more than what Lewis and I have been, then definitely worth a pickup, I think. Anyway, moving right along to the Toro news section of the show. So before we change gears, there's some other sim racing news we actually do need to cover, now that I'm looking at my notes here. We, of course, need to mention the World's Fastest Gamer competition, which took place last week. Those were the 10 or 12, I don't remember how many, gamers from around the world that went to McLaren headquarters and competed in a week long of testing of their technical sense, their ability to stand racing forces, and of course their downright speed. There were various gamers chosen from various games, so iRacing, R Factor 2, Forza Motorsports, and even an iPad app, which the name of that
really
game, yes, which the name of that game escapes me at the moment.
Is it Real Racing?
It might have been.
Whichever one by EA, that would be it.
Yeah, it might have been. Whichever one had the 650S in it.
Yeah, that would be it. It would have to be it. That's the only one that I know of that has it.
Okay, so very wide variety of gamers coming to this competition. Those Toro listeners will know that we actually held one of the qualifiers for Forza gamers to be able to join the competition, which was ultimately won by Car Harmonic, also known as David, and I'm probably going to pronounce this incorrectly, Hoach. Is that close?
It's pretty close.
Yeah. It's David.
Sorry, close enough to the point, or I'm sure he's probably not going to correct you and just be like, yeah, it works.
I'll probably get an angry message here in a couple minutes, but
I doubt that because David's incredibly laid back. Yeah. He just might cut you out behind his.
Yeah, anyway.
we'll keep this fan.
David was one of the representatives from Forza Motorsports that went to the competition. They also invited Car Liège, whose real name is
Liège or Liège?
I think it's Liège. I think it might be Liège. I'm not certain. If you know how to pronounce their names, please do contact us.
L-E-I-G-E. I believe that is Liège.
Yeah. Yeah, please do contact us at the real_Tora using the hashtag TRS.
Do not tease us with pie.
Yes. So congratulations to those guys and to all the competitors for making it up to such a high level of virtual competition. Congratulations to the winner, of course. And I just want to take a moment from this and just mentioning how the walls between sim racing and real world racing are starting to come down more and more, as I've seen the last couple of years and months, where we have this giant competition happening where they're literally trying to find a driver for the McLaren F1 simulator by going to gamers. There's, of course,
what Nissan did with the
GT Academy. I had to think about that for a second. And with like guys like William Byron and Ash Sutton, who were gamers, that their skill actually got them noticed by World of Racers, and now they're champions of their respective motorsports.
I was going to say, Byron just won the Xfinity Championship.
Yes, he did last Saturday.
Last weekend? Yeah, this past Saturday. And if I'm not mistaken, he's filling in for, or will be taking over Junior's ride in the Cup Series, if I'm not mistaken, right?
I think that might be the case.
Over there at Hendrick, I think that was who it was.
Yeah, and of course, Ash Sutton, one of the great tour alumnus, I guess you can say.
He was one of the stalwarts, and he was one of my early teammates whenever I started out in tour, and real nice guy.
Yeah, and he's now a BTCC champion with Subaru. So
yeah,
I think this is really cool that we're starting to see these walls coming down, to use that term again, and see even more cooperation between us sim racers and the real world. So be sure to look out for more of those things as we continue on with 2018. And one piece of last piece of sim racing news before we move on to tour news. We of course need to talk about iRacing, because iRacing is the giant of the sim racing world, I guess you can say, where they announced a couple new things. First of all, they're adding new animated pit crews to the game. And if you've seen the videos that they've been putting out, they look quite good. It's really cool that they're going to be able to do that.
I actually haven't seen one of those videos yet. I need to do that.
Mm-hmm. They're also introducing widgets for your dirt racers to take advantage of.
For those of you who don't know what a midget is, it's not a short person running around the racetrack, because that is politically incorrect. It's actually a very, very small sprint car, which anybody who pays attention to the show knows that we did a 410 sprint car on the Tour test track not too long ago, a couple months ago, actually. And a midget is a four-cylinder, pretty much, I think, half the size. Yeah, it's literally the best way to do it. Half the size in every aspect except for the driver's seat and steering.
It's literally half the size.
So,
figuratively and literally. So
I'm assuming they're a lot of fun to watch, too.
Yeah, I'm assuming we'll probably get a test track from that eventually when it comes out next couple months.
Maybe. Probably. We got a bunch of other stuff that we need to get done, too.
Yeah, so. There is a pretty long list. So,
Thank goodness for new games and so many different ones that we can act that feature different cars, because we were starting to run out towards the end there on a 4-6 there, and now we got a lot.
And of course, one last piece of iRacing news, they also announced that they will be adding Rallycross to the game, and the cars they will be bringing out for that are the Ford Focus and the Beetle, interestingly enough. Because when I think Rallycross, I think Beetle. Even though the Beatles
North
are
American
quite good
Rallycross. I was going to say North American Rallycross. It's pretty big. I mean, because I think they were wanting to do the Polo, but the Polo is not sold over here, so they essentially rebodied the Polo to a Volkswagen Beetle, and we get a Volkswagen Beetle.
Yeah. So that concludes our very long list of sim racing news, and now we can finally move on to tour news.
So now we're changing gears.
Yes.
Okay, is this an upshift or downshift? Because we're running out of gears if we keep upshifting.
I think it's one last upshift, and we're going to probably go into overdrive here, just because I see our time is starting to run short. So this is going to be just a brief overview of all of the various sim racing competitions we have going on at Tora at the moment. What was that?
I said, punch it.
All right. So, the most recent series first. We'll start with the Tascar Euro Series, which started up last weekend. This is going to be pretty much the same as our regular TASCAR series, but it's going to feature European tracks. So the first round started off the series at Mugello. They're going to be going to Le Mans at the very end of the series, and I believe next weekend will be Brands Hatch. I believe that is the case. Yes. So
Brands Hatch in a wet, I can imagine if that actually happens. Good God.
Yeah. Very, very sweaty cars everywhere. So
in the dry.
Yeah. The task cars will always be great fun. So, and I was just checking to make sure, yes, that was the correct date. So if you're still interested in joining that series, you can still sign up on our forums at theonlineraceassociation.com/forums. And the next round of the Euro TASCAR series begins December 2nd at the Brands Hatch Indy Circuit. So be sure to look out for that. Next up, we have the U Championship, which is something that's kind of the brainchild of myself and Flying Mikey J, or Michael Jahonas, for our typical listeners. These feature the Ford Falcon and the Holden Maloo utility vehicles, or Utes for short.
I was going to say, just to let everybody know, these are actually cars. It's not the line from My Cousin Vinny.
Yes.
These two Utes, a Ute.
Anyway, thank you for interrupting me again.
Sorry, anyway, I did that.
It's the tryptophan, Blaine, the tryptophan.
Well, that and it's my goofy personality, too.
Yes, and my goofy personality is not helping. Anyway, so the U Championship, V8-powered trucks. That's going to be a very, very fun mixture, especially when these trucks are producing 600 horsepower. They like to get sideways a lot. We have definitely seen them get sideways a lot.
Well, I was going to say, you got nothing on the rear end. It's just an empty truck bed. Yeah. It's going to get tail heavy.
Yeah, it has been a very enjoyable championship so far. The guys from XRS have shown up in force with Kaiser Wolf, actually, qualifying pole for the first two rounds, but unfortunately lagging out during the race on last Friday night. So we'll make sure to see him probably back towards the front of the pack when the series continues next Friday, not tomorrow. We're taking a week off for the holidays, people. So
unlike this radio show.
Unlike this radio show. So be sure to check back with the U Championship starting again on December 1st, where we are going to, and I'm trying to remember it off the top of my head.
A racetrack somewhere.
Yes, we are going. Oh, why am I blanking on this right now? This is clearly a professional radio show, everybody.
Well, what do you expect? We're in food coma, and yes. Matt's not here.
Yeah, Matt's not here to keep us straight.
I told you, it's all Matt's fault for leaving the Americans an American holiday, most Americans' favorite holiday. There's football going on. We can't watch that.
Yeah. But anyway,
hashtag blame Matt on hashtag TRS
yes.
at the Tour Radio Show.
Anyway, the marble has fully enrolled into place. So the next round of the U Championship will be at Maple Valley Full. And that is, again, December 1st, not tomorrow night. And a very, very interesting, I guess you want to say, time slot at 11 p.m. GMT, 6 p.m. U.S. Eastern, and 9 a.m. Australian time. So be sure.
Thank you for clarifying that. I was actually starting to do the math in my head.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so be sure to check out that championship. If V8-powered pickup trucks it catches your sensibility of driving and catches your interest. So
catching yours. You've been stumbling over your own words this
whole time. I know, right?
I know.
It's the pumpkin pie. It's a no. It's distracting.
She put it right in front of you, didn't she?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Anyway, so we, of course, do also need to talk about the Toro Carrera Cup. It's been a very entertaining series so far. We had some teething problems at the start when Forza 7 still had some issues, but after the update, things have been actually running really smoothly. This, of course, is the first Toro Championship to actually feature different driver qualifications. So you have your pros, you have your pro M1s and your pro M2s, which were self-assigned at the time. But as the series has progressed, stewards have noticed that there are some people that need readjusting. As going into the race last Sunday, the head of the driver in first of the Pro-Am 2 category. He's actually 60 points ahead, so you can expect him to be booted up into Pro-Am 1s pretty soon.
So it's similar to what the Pirelli World Challenge does in the real world. Well, for anybody here that does follow real world racing,
yeah,
that's essentially what they do.
This is more it's more based on the kind of what they do actually with the Carrera Cup Great Britain. This is actually something they wanted us to try to implement into our series, and just to see how it is as a test bed. And I think it's actually working quite well. We are keeping track of the standings, as I kind of insinuated earlier, in the different classes. So it's definitely added a different level to the championship, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So to be sure, if you wanted to join us on the track, we will continue the series December 3rd at Catalunya National for round 7 and 8 of our 10-round series. And I'm actually looking forward to the rest of this series. These cars are great to drive. The racing's been really good. So if you want to join in, of course, remember you can go check out our forums. Tell us what you've been thinking about our racing championships during this winter season. Remember, our Twitter handle is @TheReal_Toro, and use the hashtag TRS. And no, I am not getting paid every time I say that.
I am. I don't know about you.
We'll talk about that later.
No, I was going to say, you need to talk to Matt about that.
Yeah. And, of course, we also need to mention our Thursday night's grassroots stuff, which is always very popular. Club Racer D is the one that is currently happening, another Mikey Jahonez production. Very interesting way of approaching this one. We decided to use the Forza 7's in-game homologation series to see what kind of series that would produce in the future, so we might be able to look at balancing cars that way. There were a couple of cars that we had to remove from the championship just because they were super overpowered compared to everything else, but these are very low class, these are D class, so they are slow cars with a lot of grip. So it also produces some interesting racing, I would say.
Well, cool.
Yeah. And again, remember, this is Thursday night series, so they are a UK time zone and a US time zone. The UK happening at 8 p.m. GMT, and the US one happening at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So if slow crap boxes interest you, be sure to check that out. The next round, and again, we're obviously not racing tonight because it's a holiday. The next round will be next Friday, November 30th at VIR South. Now that we've talked about all the Forza championships, let's go and talk about the Project Cars 2 championship we just ran. This, of course, is the Michelin Ginetta Super Cup. I finished up earlier this month. I was actually not able to attend any of the series because it happened during 8 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, which means it's in the middle of the afternoon for me, and I was at work. Pesky thing.
That happened to you, too?
Yeah, that happened to me, too.
Yeah.
Yep. Very close
Got
racing.
Got by in front of you, too?
Yeah. Very close racing throughout the series. Matt actually streamed a fair bit of it on his Mixer account, I believe. So I believe he does have some of that archive, so if you want to check that out, be able sure to go look him up on Mixer. I'm sure, Matt, we'll be able to tweet out a link to this as we are talking about this, because I'm sure you're listening into the show right now. So, yeah, great series. Thank you to Ginetta for supporting us in this. Thank you for that last minute amazing prize. That was really cool of you guys to do that. And congrats to TM Murphy 23 and Team Momentum on the Drivers' Championship and the Team Championship. We look forward to having you guys in later series.
Yes, we do.
So that about rounds out our Toro news. Be sure to always check out our forums to see what's coming up next. And just as a subtle spoiler alert, you might be seeing some of these series coming up again in the near future as we go on through 2018.
One thing I can guarantee you, there will be virtual race cars driven on virtual racetracks in one way, shape, or another.
Yes. So that comes that time again where, you know, I spoiled this a little bit earlier. We
Yeah, way to go, Ben.
Yeah, thanks. We got Lewis let loose on a track with a car of his choice. So, Lewis, go get your Dago helmet and let's do this thing.
There's some black on there, too.
Yes, but it's mostly Dago.
And welcome back to the Tour Test Track on the Tour Radio Show on RadioLeMans.com. Today we have a very special edition of it for you, and it's one of my all-time favorite race cars. A different iteration of it, actually, which I'm actually kind of surprised. And those of you who listened to the show before have known I have longed for this car to be in a video game. And it is the Porsche 935. This particular version, though, we find in Forza Motorsport 7, it is the 935-78 Moby Dick in the Momo livery with a good old-fashioned 78. Anybody who knows me knows that I'm very partial to the Momo livery from when I was a younger child. So anyway, a little bit about the car here. Its car was actually was enlarged on engine capacity to 3.2 liters and went from 750 horsepower to 845. Now, anybody who knows the history of this car knows that when you got on the throttle, you had to make sure the car was pointing straight, so that way it didn't spin out on you whenever the turbos kicked in. So why not? Let's just add more horsepower for Porsche. I mean, why not? You know, just go ahead and spool up that sucker up and we'll get going. But anyways, so a little interesting fact on this. They actually found a loophole for the regulations at Le Mans that year, or should I say for Group 5 altogether, actually, because BMW was just coming in and they made it to where you could cut into the floorboard for the exhaust to come through the car or through the underside of the car and come out the back, which was for BMW. Well, unfortunately, the loophole didn't designate strictly for BMW or front-engine cars, so Porsche decided to exploit this, and they lowered the car by 10 centimeters, which is quite a lot back in those days. And if you really think about it, it's really one of the first cars that really sat flush with the ground, very little ground clearance altogether. And another funny thing was, is because that way they can get the transmission and the drive shafts to line up properly, the transmission is actually mounted upside down in this car, which I found was a little interesting fact. I did not know that beforehand on this one. But anyway, we're going here at Mugello Circuit around Italy, and we're going to go ahead and wring this thing's neck for a couple laps, and I do hope you enjoy that. So let's hop behind the wheel and see what German dreams are made of.
One man, one track, plenty of noise. Tora Test Track with Lewis Satterley.
All right, friends, we're right here at the pit out, and we're going to go ahead and give this thing our typical Tora Test Track start fashion with a big old giant revving burnout straight out of the pit lane here. We're right at pit exit there. We go ahead and put down the power right away. You can hear the turbos already spooling up in between gear shifts. We're only in second gear. This sucker reaches up to 115 miles an hour. But we got cold tires, so we're going to drop down to second gear as we come into turn one here. We've got to tiptoe through here. Want to ease onto the power, make sure she points so much straight before we squeeze on the throttle there. Hard on the brakes there, we're going to tiptoe through here. The car is like a tank, to be honest with you, ladies and gentlemen. What you should do, it doesn't produce a whole lot of downforce. It's got a very narrow rear wing on the back. So we go ahead and give it some more throttle there, pushing it hard. Then come through the second part of our S here. This is 4 and 5 right here. You want to blow the car through these corners when we get everything up to temperature there. On the back side of the circuit. Now we're going to break it again. Second gear, tiptoe for here, 80 miles an hour. This is the right left, that would be 6 and 7. We're at the bottom of the hill here, just parallel with the throttle corner here. We're going to go to the double apex right hander of 8 and 9. As we go up the hill, there's 8 down. Here comes turn 9. Second gear still holding on to the wind at 100 miles an hour. Top gear there, dropping up into third. And then, just like that, we drop it down to second instantly as we got another right-hander here. Mugello, as anybody knows, is a series of left and right corners, 90 degrees for the most part, with a couple of horseshoes. Here we are coming up into the first part of the horseshoe here on the back side of the circuit before the quick left-right of the chicane here. We're still tiptoeing through here. Car wants to dance a little bit, rear end, get a little tail happy there as we come onto the throttle once again. There's left. Here's right, full throttle through that S, no problem, as we drop to the bottom corner. We're going to see what kind of speed we can get out of this car. Kilograms-wise, this car only weighs 1030, which is actually pretty light for a GT car at the time. So here we are, come out of the front straightaway, 95 miles an hour as we head onto it. Now let's just listen to that turbo, bi-turbo flat six go. Hard
Barry at turn one, 165 miles an hour, four heavy braking there, turn one. Okay, now let's start braking this thing so I can see what we can get out of it. There it is, tires are up to temperature, car wants to step up quite a bit there. Second gear, and there it is. We're forcing this throttle down as hard as we can. We're making this a show. Here we are coming out of the S's there once again. Got real close to getting into the gravel. Here we are hard on the throttle again, hard braking once again. Drop the gear there, feel the car just dance on there, hard on the throttle again, feel the rear end come back. Looks like this kick out on you just so hard here. Now we're coming back down the hill here. Third gear here, 95 miles an hour, going a little bit slower there for the second left-hander here as we come up to the double right up-hander. 95 miles an hour once again, 120 coming through the first part of this. Drops down to about 97 there, the car's dancing all over the place here as it gets a little happy and unsettled on the curves. That zone there, and then hard braking once again. Here's the right-hander. Here's the left-hander there, holding on to her. There's the gravel trap, set two wheels off. And we had to get it a little bit out of the throttle there. We're about to hit the wall there in a bad way. All right, here we go. Hold on to it here. Second to last, fourth shoe here for the quick chicane here. Full throttle right through here. Here we go, getting on it. I love the kick this thing gives you. Listen to this turbo spool up as we come around to the final corner. We're going to be in the bigger part of the test track. The silent lap. Starting as we come out of this final corner. Hold on to it. Hold on to it. Hold on to it. Here comes the end of the circuit. There's the throttle. We're going to make it on this one. Alrighty, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you enjoy the silent lap, as you always do. Gentlemen, that was the silent lap. Let's go ahead and see what we can get for top speed here. We got a really good run out of the final corner. Normally, I don't do it a little bit extra here, but you get a little extra bonus coverage here. 175. Very nice. And you also get to hear one of my favorite sounds in all of racing there, ladies and gentlemen, that downshifting Porsche of the 60s and 70s. It's even better whenever they're not turbocharged. I just love to hear that noise. So, ladies and gentlemen, this has been another Tour Test Track on the Tour Radio Show on RadioLeMans.com, featuring one of the all-time favorites of any race fan, the Porsche 935 Moby Dick. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, be safe, be fast, and bye for now.
And I'm going to need new eardrums. Thank you, Louie.
Oh, you're welcome. That's what you get with flat six bi-turbos.
Wow.
You enjoyed it. Don't try to pull the desk card on me.
Yeah, I did. I did. Even though it isn't the V8, it was great fun.
Besides, you weren't listening into it at all anyway. I'm sitting there driving while you're chowing down on pie there.
No, I wasn't.
Yeah, I caught you. No, I caught you. No. Handed.
Totally not.
I heard that smacking in my ears on the radio. I heard it.
All right. Anyway, so thank you, dear listeners, for joining us on the Toro Radio Show. Happy Thanksgiving to all the Americans. One quick final note. Thank you all for the happy 10th anniversary wishes from everyone out there in the Twitter world. Thank you especially to Turn 10. And it's been, I would say, a very interesting 10 years. And here's to 10 more years of great racing here at Toro. Thank you all for listening, and have a good day, and happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, and also thank you, Matt, for 10 wonderful years.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMans.com.